Hello, and thank you for joining me on another episode of As the Garden Grows, a research-based horticultural podcast. My name is Ariel Whiteley-Knoll, and today we're going to be talking about starting seeds indoors. Today, we're going to be talking about starting seeds. And starting seeds is one of my favorite things to talk about because it signifies sort of the kickoff of the growing season for the year. I think a lot of people think that the growing season starts in April or May when you're planting things in the ground outside, but that's really not true. That January through March timeline is a great time to start sowing seeds in your home so that those flowers or vegetables are large and healthy and ready to be transplanted in those later spring to early summer months. When you seed plants, it really gives you the opportunity to produce quality plants, and a lot of times it's going to be at a lower price than when you're buying established plants from a garden center, from a nursery. It can also be really helpful because I don't know what all of your preferences are, but I kind of like to grow some odd things. There are a few pepper varieties that I love that I have a hard time sourcing, or sometimes I just like to buy things that are a little more popular. And so by the time I get around to buying them at the garden store, the ones that are left are sort of picked over. But by growing my own, really allows me to have healthy plants, to know where the seed source came from, which can be really important, especially if you're trying to do like heirloom tomatoes, or maybe you just share seeds with friends. I have a lot of friends who I exchange, especially flower seeds with, and so it can be a really fun gardening activity in the season before we really think about gardening as happening. You know, there's snow on the ground many times when I start my seeds. But just like with all other gardening activities, there are a lot of things that you want to take into consideration. So that's what we're going to talk about today. Just the steps to consider as you're starting seeds in your home to make sure that you have a really healthy, happy plant product that you can put into your garden. So the first thing, of course, is starting with a quality product, so quality seed. That means freshness. So when you go to the hardware store, I know it can be really tempting. They've got all those banks of seeds out right now, and that can be a perfectly fine place to purchase seed, but make sure to check the date. Seeds should not be more than a year old. So all seed packs have a date usually stamped on the back, and they should have been packed at the end of last year or sometimes early this year, depending on the seed. So just make sure that it's the current year that you're growing in is the date that's on it within the last calendar. So make sure that you're starting with that fresh seed and that the varieties are recommended for your area. But just that you're using reputable seeds, that it's clean seed, and that it's current. Those are going to be the most important things to make sure that what you're starting with is quality. That way you're not fighting disease issues or you're not fighting against a really low germination rate, which means you won't get the amount of plants that you need. So just make sure that you're starting with the most quality product. That way you know that what you're putting into your garden is going to be a really healthy plant. The next thing is also on the seed packet. It's that date to seed. So there's a lot of great information on the seed packet. It could be a little bit overwhelming, but you do want to look at that date to seed. And you can also use a Kansas garden guide, which again, I will link, just to make sure that you're properly estimating those transplant dates. So you take the transplant date and you count backwards, and on the pack it'll say, you know, weeks from seeding to transplant or weeks to plant, and then that's how you determine your seeding date. January is oftentimes a little bit too early for most crops, but February and March are many times, especially with our vegetable crops, when we would think about seeding. Flowers, especially perennial flowers, don't necessarily have that information. So just plan to start those with your other plants, and you may need to keep them in containers a little bit longer, especially if you're trying to have a bigger plant to transplant. And then, of course, I talk about it almost every time I talk about houseplants or anything else where you have that control. Making sure that you start with proper media, proper planting media, potting soil is really important. When we're starting seeds, so many of our seeds are really small and they're delicate. They're babies. So it's really important not to use regular potting soil because that can be too coarse. The texture can be kind of heavy. And then if you use garden soil, there is a chance, first of all, we all have clay soils in this part of Kansas. Eastern Kansas is clay soil. So that's going to be really heavy. That's going to be really difficult for seeds to push through, but there may also be some disease issues. So start with a seeding mix, and you're going to see that at every garden store right now. Every hardware store is going to have them. So just make sure that you're buying clean potting soil, that it specifically says like a germination mix or seeding mix, and that's going to allow you to start your seeds in a healthy way. It's just a mixture that isn't too heavy, so that they can push up through, and also one that usually doesn't have any or very little fertilizer to make sure that we're not burning those delicate roots as plants begin to germinate. Now, when we're talking about what to plant in, this is a great idea to sort of raid through your recycle bin. So yogurt containers, egg crates. I actually really like salad clams, like those plastic clamshells that salad come in, or strawberry or blueberry containers. They can all be great to use for seeds. If it's a plastic container, just make sure that you're washing it really thoroughly. Egg crates are really lovely because they sort of give you their individual pods. You know, each spot that an egg would have sat can be a spot where a plant sits. The downside to egg crates is they do sort of break down. So you have definitely a limit on how long you can use them, but also they dry out really, really quickly. Within a matter of hours sometimes. So if you do decide to use egg crates or cardboard or anything porous like that, just make sure you're keeping an extra eye on the moisture. On the flip side of that, if you're using like a plastic clamshell, you may want to add holes to the bottom if it doesn't already have it and put it in some kind of tray just to make sure that you're not drowning those seeds. And that's the next step is moisture. Once you put those seeds in the container, sometimes depending on the seed, soaking it can be helpful before you get started. But once they're in the soil, they should not dry out. So it's kind of a difficult balance to keep the soil moist, but make sure it's not getting waterlogged. A spray bottle can be really helpful just to make sure that you're keeping that top layer of soil damp, but not, you know, sort of dripping. But also having those plastic containers, keeping the cover on can help a lot. So one thing that works for me is I usually, when I'm starting seeds, I plan to water the seeds once to twice a week. So that's like a good deep watering once to twice a week. But then I leave the lid on top and spray typically every morning and every evening. And that lid helps to keep that humidity high and the soil moist. So just make sure that that soil is staying moist at all times. Like I said before, these are babies. Each seed is a little baby, and they're not very good at living yet. So they have typically one root, one shoot, and that's just not a lot of surface area for them to take up water. So it's really important that they don't dry out. They don't have the reserves that an established plant has. So just keep an eye on that. If soil conditions are kept too moist, you can develop a conditioning called dampening off, which is essentially where your seedlings just turn brown and die right at the soil. Sanitation's a big part of that. Spacing your seeds out is a big part of that. But honestly, it's just part of starting seeds. If you have a variety that you really care about, like maybe it is like an heirloom tomato variety, I try to spread it out into different containers. So if you have one heirloom variety, I might put one in a, you know, tomato clamshell, another in an egg carton, another in a blueberry clamshell, and spread them out. That way, if there is a disease issue in one, I still have some of the crop left. So just something to consider if that's a concern. Of course, light is really important, and I think this is all of our biggest challenge when we're starting seeds indoors. It can be really difficult to get your plants enough light, and if you're a serious seed starter, you should really buy a light for this purpose. Window light, if you're lucky enough to have a big bank of south-facing windows, that can be really helpful, but sometimes even that isn't enough sunlight. So getting that sunlight when we're trying to grow indoors can be really difficult, and sometimes supplemental lights is just part of it. The most important thing is that when you are germinating, seedlings get light right away. Don't think that you can start them in your basement or your garage, and then a couple days after they come out, you can put them into light. They'll develop a condition called etiolation, which is essentially where they think they're still underground and they stretch and they stretch and they stretch trying to break through what they think is the soil surface, but maybe, you know, your basement door to reach the sunlight. And this process uses up all the reserves they have in the seed, and those plants will never recover. They're going to die. So just make sure that as soon as you plant, you have them put where they need so that they can get that sunlight. Once they start to see the sunlight, that's the indication to them they're doing the right thing. They've broken through the soil surface and they'll grow normally. So just make sure that that light's always there. Temperature is also a big factor when starting seeds, and it's kind of a tricky one because different plants can sometimes require different temperature requirements. So you might consider that as well if you're going to sow multiple seeds in the same container, just being mindful of what temperatures they need. Many times, in order to germinate, seedlings need a warmer temperature, sometimes just for 1 or 2 days to get that germination process started. I tend to use hot water when I first germinate because they are still in their seed coats, so they're protected. So I'll pour some hot water into the tray below just to give them that sort of steam or heat effect. You can also purchase a germination mat, which is sort of like a heating pad, but it's designed to be able to withstand a little bit of water. You don't want to use a typical heating pad unless you're being really careful to make sure it's not going to get wet. I have also before started my seeds on laundry day. So I will start my seeds on top of my dryer and run 3 or 4 or 5 loads of laundry back to back to back. And that generates enough heat that it does the trick. Sometimes you can put them on top of a refrigerator or another appliance that's a little bit warm. You're not trying to cook the plants. You don't want them to be too hot. But a little bit of heat many times is the kickstart our plants need. It's sort of the indication to them that they're outside and the sun is shining and everything's going really well. So they should go ahead and break through that seed coat. And then one factor that I think a lot of people don't know about, but they definitely should, is that you should be touching your plants. You should be touching your seedlings a lot. I think people joke about, you know, singing to your plants, which can be really helpful because, as you know, you're breathing in oxygen, you're exhaling carbon dioxide, but plants take in that carbon dioxide and then put out oxygen. So singing to your plants is lovely, but touching them is really important too, especially when we think about things like tomatoes. It's really important that tomatoes have a really strong, healthy stem. And so if you actually just take your hand and brush the tomato plants about 20 strokes per day, you're going to have healthier, stockier plants. The reason for this, basically everything you're doing when you're starting seeds, is trying to trick the plant into thinking that they have hit the jackpot and they have just the best outside spot ever. So when we're touching them, we're making them think that that's the wind, and that really strong wind will encourage them to sort of branch out and become a little bit beefier so they can be stronger. Now, this is really important because if you have a tomato plant that's been in your home and you haven't touched it, there's obviously no wind in your home, and then you take it outside in Kansas, that plant is going to struggle. We have wind in Kansas. So you're just sort of creating those conditions that are going to make them stronger plants when they do go outside. In addition to that brushing for the plant's benefit, it's also good for you. Interaction with plants makes us happier. It makes us healthier. It does a lot for our mental health. So even if it's a plant that maybe you're going to keep inside or you don't necessarily need to be strong and stocky, touch it anyway, because it's going to be something that you will find some benefits from. And then the last step when we're looking at seeding our plants is a process called hardening off. And again, that's just helping your plant go from this pampered, loving, perfect condition that you've created in your home to the harsh outdoor environment. So once we start to get daytime temperatures up into the 50s, you can often, what I do is I just take my plants out in the morning before I leave for work. I set them in a semi-shady spot to start with, fairly protected, maybe up on a porch, and then leave them out during the day and then bring them in at night when those temperatures are still going to dip pretty low. Do this gradually, putting them in less and less protected areas, more out in the sunshine, an area where they will experience some wind, and that's going to help them to acclimate to those outside temperatures around 2 to 3 weeks before you plan to transplant them. So doing that can help. If there's ever going to be a freeze, don't do this. So if you're leaving for work and there's going to be a cold front moving in and it's going to be frozen, leave your plants inside. Once that frost passes, you can start the process over again. So this is just a gradual move from inside to outside. And this is going to make sure that you have hopefully the least amount of seedling die off as possible. When you're hardening off, and after you transplant, think about the animals in your yard. Squirrels, I think, are evil and love nothing more than to take a precious seedling that you have spent months caring for and chomp it for no reason. They're not eating it. They're just mean. So make sure that when you are putting your plants outside, whether you're transplanting them or starting that hardening off process, that you either have some kind of screen or barrier or something that's going to make sure that rabbits and squirrels don't come in and ruin all of your hard work, because I think that's why they were put on this earth. They're determined to do that. But if you follow those steps, hopefully you will end up with healthy, happy plants. Last thing that I just want to share with you all is not to let it be overwhelming. I definitely have those years where I think I need to start all the seeds that I was given in the previous year that I bought, because I think that I am a greenhouse, even though I have like one window that I can put seedlings in. So don't get overwhelmed. Just like with other gardening projects, take it step by step. Seed the plants that you most want to see in your garden. Save the rest for later. Give them to friends and family, but don't let it be an overwhelming process. This should be a fun gardening activity at a time where it's hard to get outside and you're not able to do much more. Thank you all for joining me again today on As the Garden Grows, a research-based horticultural podcast. Happy gardening, and I'll see you next time.